In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Many happy returns to you all. Here celebrating one of the major and glorious feasts of our Lord Jesus Christ, entering into the city of Jerusalem, hailed as a king. And it's such a joyous time because all the crowds, from the children to the adults, and all of God's creation are involved in this glorious procession. You have the children, you have the adults, you have the donkey, you have the palms. All of God's creation is involved in this glorious entry of our Lord. And yesterday the church celebrated and began the progression towards today and towards the Holy Passion Week and the resurrection by celebrating the Lord Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. And we saw yesterday the power of the enemy, which is death. And we saw the Lord Christ having power over death and raising Lazarus from the tomb after he had been dead for 4 days. Then today, he comes in to the city of Jerusalem, triumphant and as a king and victorious. And if you look at this day, it's special, not only because of what happened, but because our Lord Jesus Christ, from before this moment, he rejected and refused to be hailed as a king or to be glorified by the people. Once in John chapter 6, after he had fed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, they wanted to take him and make him the king. And the Bible tells us that he fled from them and he went to the mountain because it wasn't the time yet. But today is the time. And today, the Lord Christ not only accepts this, but also promotes what they're doing. All of this in fulfillment of the prophecy which Zechariah has said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, and a foal of a donkey." And just, you know, as a side note, before I begin, all of us, we had the palms in our hands and we, you know, waved them throughout the service yesterday and today. And then many of us, what will we do with these palms? Many of us will keep them the whole year, right? You know, sometimes if somebody gives me a ride, I'll see the palm from like 8 or 9 months ago is still hanging in their car. Do we know why we keep the palm for the whole year? Every year on this feast, we are celebrating the Lord Christ's entry into Jerusalem as a king. And all of us who hold this palm are hailing this, not that he's entering into a city, but he's entering the city of our hearts and reigning as king. And that's why we wear the palms here on our chest. So we keep this for the whole year to remember the vow that we made to Christ today, as hailing him as our king in our life. And we keep it from year to year. But today I'd like to discuss an unlikely vehicle that a king used. We would expect the king, not only the king of a city or a government or a nation, but this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You would expect him to be on a fiery chariot carried by the angels. But he's coming today in a lowly manner on a donkey and a colt. So I'd like to speak a bit about this donkey a little bit. First of all, we often, when we see the icons of Palm Sunday, we see the Lord Christ riding on a donkey. But the question is it one donkey or two? It's saying that there is a donkey and then a colt. And then it says a foal of a donkey. A colt is, it could be a young horse, but that's why it indicates a foal of a donkey. So we know that there is the mommy donkey, and then there's the child donkey. So actually the Christ, the Lord, he came on both of them. He didn't sit on one and his legs were on the other, no. But what they say, if you read scripture in Luke 19, 28, it said that the Lord went up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was sitting upon a city, a high mountain, and anybody coming from Bethany or Bethphage had to ascend up the mountain to enter the city. So what the tradition tells us is that Lord used the adult donkey, the strong donkey, to ascend the mountain. And then when he got up to the mountain, he got off the large donkey and got on the colt and entered into the gate riding on this young foal of a donkey. So he used both the adult and the child. And why particularly a donkey? There are many lessons we can learn from a donkey, and in Scripture, they're involved throughout Scripture. We read the first characteristic maybe that we can think of a donkey is that they're very strong. Although they look very small, but yet they're very strong. They use them for traveling and putting a lot of weight on them because they're very strong. And if you remember Samson, remember the story of Samson? He was very strong. He had this might of 10 men, right? What did he use to kill the Philistines with? He used the jawbone of the donkey. And with the jawbone, he slayed 1,000 men of the people of the Philistines with the jawbone of the donkey. So the donkey is very strong animal. The donkey is also very obedient and faithful. If you remember the story that I think I mentioned it last week about Balaam and the prophet Balaam and how God wanted to stop Balaam from going to meet the king and the angel stood in his way. The donkey, despite seeing the angel, kept on going until he got stuck, until he got jammed and he couldn't go anymore. So here he was faithful to Balaam who was riding him. Despite seeing the angel, he'd see the angel and just turn. So the donkey is a very faithful and obedient animal. And lastly, they're extremely loyal. They're extremely loyal. In 1 Kings chapter 13, we read of a strange story. I'm not going to go through the details now, but it's a prophet and a man of God who was doing the will of God, who was tricked into not obeying God. And the donkey that he was riding on was taking him. And then on the journey, this man died. And the donkey stayed next to the man and guarded his body, despite that he was dead. So we see that the characteristics of a donkey, they're strong, they're obedient, they're loyal, and they're faithful. But what is it that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us today as we see our Lord coming riding on a donkey? The first is that the carrying of God, the carrying of God's presence to the people. God's presence was never meant to be in a feeling exclusively. When we say about carrying God in our life and having God in our life, this is not meant to be something I feel for myself and that's it. But yet it's something that we should be carrying, that should be evident to the world. And St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." So he says that we are the fragrance of Christ. Anybody who wears a strong cologne or a strong perfume, and he just walks down, the hallway, and then goes and turns, and you walk by, you can smell the perfume or you can smell the cologne. I had a professor when I was in college who would like to wear a lot of cologne. And we would know when we should go into class when we smelled the cologne. Once we smelled the cologne, we said, okay, he's inside, let's go. But Christ, or St. Paul is saying that we need to be the fragrance of Christ so that the people, when they see us, they see Christ or they smell the fragrance of Christ. And notice here he says, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. It's very easy for us to be God-like and Christ-like in the church. Because this is what's expected. This is what people expect. But the challenge to our faith and our devotion to Christ as being our King is doing this to the rest of the world. That the rest of the world, the people who do not know God or do not know God in the Orthodox understanding, will see us and say there's something different about them. I see Christ in them despite I don't know anything about Christ. There's something different. I smell a strange aroma. If we look at the Ark of the Covenant, the Old Testament, it was covered and it was carried by the cherubim. And we know that the throne of God is carried by the cherubim. And if we noticed in the hymns, that we were saying for Palm Sunday, we said, he who sits upon the cherubim. What does this mean? Actually, we see him sitting on a donkey. That he sits upon the cherubim in heaven. And who are the cherubim? The cherubim are a rank of angels. They have many eyes, as we know from the Bible. And the four incorporeal creatures are among the cherubim. So the cherubim are taking the form of God's creation, of animals. So when we say the one who sits upon the cherubim, who sits on the four incorporeal creatures, is now sitting on a donkey, also his creation, but in physical form. See how the Holy Spirit arranges everything in such a beautiful way that the heavenly preaches and the earthly mimic. That's why we see in the whole church around us is an image of heaven. We see the saints, the angels, the throne of God and the altar. All of this is the presence of God. And on the day of Pentecost, we hear that the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles like tongues of fire, and each one sat upon each of them. So the Holy Spirit came and sat upon each one of them. It's something they carried. It wasn't something they simply felt. So when I declare Christ as my King today, and I'm carrying Him throughout the world, it's not simply something that I feel, but it should be something that I carry to the rest of the world, that they might see the Lord Christ in my life. Also, we see in the donkey that it is a young donkey who entered into Jerusalem carrying the Lord Christ. And Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, it says, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. And it's important here that the Lord said, which no one has sat. Actually, the donkey, just like the horse, needs to be trained to accept somebody to ride them. It's not, you can't just take a wild horse or a wild donkey and expect it to listen to you and to let you ride it. What does this say about the donkey? It says that the donkey needs to be teachable. Now mind you, I'm speaking here about the donkey, but I'm actually speaking about you and I, right? You know, I know in Arabic and even English, the donkey is a curse or something bad. But actually today, this donkey, I think all of us would wish to be this donkey. To have the Lord Christ riding upon our shoulders. So the donkey here was teachable. It allowed the Lord to ride on the donkey or on him. Again, am I going to present the world with Christ, who He truly is? Or do I want to present to the world who I interpret Christ to be? Who I say who He is? To be teachable is to heed the direction and the instruction of the church and the teachings of the church. Sometimes you might not understand something, and sometimes my reason doesn't understand the mysteries of God. But what happens when I don't understand something that is revealed to us by God? Do I change the revelation, or do I change the way that I think? It should be I change the way that I think. And even if I don't understand, maybe I'll understand later. But I'm teachable. I'm willing to learn, and I'm willing to yield. And on a spiritual sense, on a spiritual note, the colt here is you and I, is this colt. And just as a young colt is difficult to train, you and I struggle with the desires of the body and the flesh. As if whenever we try to discipline the body, it kicks and jumps and squirms, just like the young donkey might do when it's being trained. It gives me trouble against when I try to practice my spiritual exercises. But you know what? As we saw today, the only one that can tame this beast of mine is the one to lead it into the heavenly Jerusalem, which is Christ. So the one who's able to teach this colt and this young donkey is able to tame and to discipline my body and help me to lead my life in a way that's fit of the kingdom of heaven and the heavenly Jerusalem. So let it be our prayer today Lord, teach us to submit to your guidance in trust and in faith. Even if I don't understand, let me be able to submit myself to you just as this young donkey did, not squirming or kicking, but giving up control and letting you lead my life. We also see in this donkey that there was no special physical uniqueness. There's nothing special about it. We don't hear that this donkey was a mix between a donkey and a horse, or a donkey and a Clydesdale, or something very strong and big. It was just the ordinary donkey that God chose to ride on. And yet this donkey was tied. It was still a plan or a choice in God's eternal plan of salvation. So this teaches us that you and I, despite thinking of ourselves as being ordinary, just like anybody else, I'm just one in the, you know, in a million. No, but God chose this young donkey that had no, you know, uniqueness, something special. And he said, I want to ride this donkey into Jerusalem. The same he says about each and every one of us. We have a special plan in God's plan for the salvation of the world. Each and every one of us. Each of us has been given a certain gift, a certain talent. Some love, some serve, some, you know, are compassionate, some are loving. All of these virtues and gifts we all have collectively as the body of Christ. Yes, no one person has them all, but together we have them all. So each of us is special and unique to the Lord and can be used. No one should ever say to themselves, what does God really need me for? That God needs each and every one of you. And it's very, you know, nice, and Abuna and I spoke about this, and maybe God willing, we could be able to do this. We'll have some kind of like open house for the services of the church, that all of us can find a service and join in the service. Whatever talent that I might have, whether it be music, whether it be hymns, whether it be organizing, whether it be clothing, whatever it is, my talent, God is in need of it. Just like he saw this donkey and said, I have need of it. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we saw the Samaritan woman who was a sinner and living with her fifth husband or sixth husband, and or not even her husband, she was just living with a man. But yet God used her. Despite of her sins, God still used her. She came, confessed, he revealed to her who he was, and then she became an evangelist. She went out to preach and to teach. So none of us could say that we're unuseful to God or God can't use us. Also, if you look at Joseph, Joseph throughout his life, we don't hear of him doing any kind of extraordinary miracle like Moses or Elijah. But he submitted to God's will and God's direction all of his life. I think she has a calling. And yet, God still used him, despite any having extraordinary, anything extraordinary about them. Also, we see that the colt was tied. The colt was tied. It says, going into the village opposite you, as soon as you will enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one else sat. Loose it and bring it to me. So he says, loose it and bring it to me. This is also very significant that the colt was tied. Because you and I, before Christ came, we were tied to the world through the sins. None of us had any hope of salvation prior to Christ, or the human race did not. And this is what stopped man and humanity doing what God created him to do, was sin. This donkey, what stopped him from coming to the Lord was him being tied. So he told the disciples to go and untie the man and to come and bring him to me. The same thing with you and I. The sin is what ties us to the world. His Holiness Pope Shenouda always used to say that we are all like birds in our spiritual life flying into the heavens. But some of us, we have ropes or string tied to our feet and then tied to something in the world. Whether it be pleasure, money, lust, whatever it might be, that tie us to the world. So every time we try to fly up, we only can get so high. And then the world yanks us back down. And he told the disciples to go and untie the colt. In this we see God's divine economy. And how he wants the disciples and the church to be the ones by which people are loosed from the bond of sin. Look at the Holy Spirit. Look how it arranges things. And you say that we don't need a priest or we don't need to confess to a priest. This was God's intention from the beginning. To have the people commune and receive the grace of God through the priesthood and through the church. Another way that this is also exemplified very beautifully is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, before the tribe of Levi, they would give the firstborn of the house, and the firstborn of everything went to God. So I had a chicken, the first chicken would go to God. I had a donkey, the first donkey went to God. But when it came to an unclean animal, which the donkey actually was an unclean animal, was characterized as an unclean animal. Do you know what the Bible says then we should do? It should be redeemed by what? By a lamb. So if somebody has a donkey, and I'm not going to give something unclean to God, so I'm going to redeem the donkey by the lamb. Did you guys put it together? If we are the donkey, and we are sinful, right? And the lamb is what's going to redeem us. So we transfer the sin that is upon us upon the lamb in confession, and then the priest offers the lamb on the altar as the sacrifice. So it's the Redeemer. And we will see this in Covenant Thursday, God willing. So the colt was tied. Let's be loosed from our sins. Let's offer up a confession. First, before yourself, repent, and then come to the priest and offer repentance and receive forgiveness by the church as God has instructed us. Lastly, we see that the colt is lowly, is coming, is a lowly animal. What do I mean by lowly? It's not a threatening or a fearsome animal or intimidating animal. But you look at it, it seems very kind and gentle, and we can ride in it. And those who came yesterday, you know, saw the donkey. No one was really scared of the donkey. It's a calm and lowly animal. It's not like a horse or a stallion who has on it like a soldier who's going to battle. No, this may be fearsome. And maybe if Christ came on a fiery chariot, the people would be scared. But he wants to say, no, I'm coming to you lowly on a donkey, and not only the mother, the adult, but I'm coming to you on the child, the foal of a donkey. And this is the characteristics of those who come and to carry the king throughout the world. That we should be lowly. We should be peaceful. We should demonstrate goodness in our lives and service. And this is how the Lord attracted the crowd. Not with fear and threatening, but with humility and kindness. That's why the Lord says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Does this mean that the meek and humble will be wealthy in the world? No. But when he says they'll inherit the earth, meaning they will have no enemies. They will have no enemies. It's very hard for somebody who is meek and humble and lowly to have enemies by his own accord. Sometimes people can hate the good person and be their enemy, but he himself or she himself is not the enemy of anyone because they're humble and lowly. Like this colt. So we learn from the Holy Spirit today to look at this colt and this donkey and learn a few lessons of who are those who carry Christ into the city of Jerusalem, which is all of us carrying Christ into the city of the world, to be his representatives. We saw that we need to carry his presence to the world, not only feel it for ourselves or something to be internal, or something we do simply at church, but it should be throughout the whole world, in our works, in our sports, in our activities, everything. We saw how the donkey was young and untamed, but yet when Christ rode on the donkey, he was able to tame it. If there's a particular sin in your life that seems to have grips of you and have control, the only way for freedom is through Christ, through repentance. Let him be the one that you accept on your back, and let him lead you as he led this colt and this donkey. We said that there is no physical uniqueness. All of us are special in the eyes of God, even if we look at ourselves and think that we have nothing special about ourselves. The fourth, we said that the colt was tied and needed to be loosed by Christ. And lastly, we said that the colt was lowly. Let us, as we continue this feast and begin the Passion Week, let us think to ourselves that I want to change this Holy Week from today the rest of my life. And let us carry the fragrance of Christ into the world with courage, strength, obedience, faithfulness, and loyalty to the one who purchased us with his most holy and precious blood. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Many happy returns to you all.